Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Amen. Well, morning, everyone. How was Christmas? Yeah? New Year? We had a great time down on Strawberry Vale, and just want to say thank you, St. Barnabas, for your generosity. Through the Christmas dinner box campaign that we did, every household on the estate got a small goodie bag of gifts this Christmas that really, really blessed people. For some people, it was their kind of only gift. And we also were able to give out 65 hamper boxes full of everything that you need for Christmas dinner to those who just... That extra cost of Christmas is just kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back. The relief on people's faces when they realise they kind of didn't have to scrimp and save or get in debt to do Christmas with their families was absolutely wonderful. So thank you, St. Barnabas. Well done. You are a very generous church and you really bless us down on the estates and especially at Church at Five. Also want to say to you, happy Epiphany. It was Epiphany on Thursday. I know I sound very Anglican. I am a vicar, so I am allowed to sound Anglican. But Epiphany is when we celebrate the coming of the Magi as they came to worship Jesus. And traditionally, it's when you're meant to take your Christmas decorations down around that time as well. Anybody else not taking their Christmas decorations down? Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one. My tree is looking so rank. At the moment, I think if you slam the door too hard, all the needles would just drop off. I need to get rid of it. It's not looking good at all. But I didn't want to finish Christmas too quickly this year. It felt like it kind of, you know, went rushing past. And just to be able to sit for a moment longer in that wonderful story of God coming to earth... that's why Epiphany is so great. It allows us to stay in that time. As Colin said, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Trevor's going to come and read our Bible passage to us. And as she does that, we're going to be asking God to speak to us through his word. The Lord promises that he will lead us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we read the Bible. We don't just get our teaching from the learned people up here or from some great theology books or some YouTube channels. Actually, God speaks to us directly and wants to show us things directly. And so, you know, we can do this here together corporately, we're family together, but we can also do this, you know, when we're at home as well, that God is going to, you know, this year reveal new things to you as you read his word. However long you've been a Christian, whether you've been a Christian a little time or whether you've been a Christian forever and a day, God has got new things to show you. So you are going to need a Bible, and the hospitality team are going to come around with Bibles. It's not going to really work this if you don't have one. So don't worry if you haven't bought one. Just stick your hand up and they'll give you a Bible. Or if you've got a Bible on your phone, you need to get it out now. We're looking at Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. Just keep waving at them. They will come round. Fantastic. I have to bring because my eyesight's not as good as it used to be, I have to bring a separate bag with my Bible in now. It won't fit in my handbag. I think they're getting larger and larger. Another 10 years' time, I'll have one of those big Bibles, you know, you see at the front of the churches. How are we doing? Have we found it? Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. Just a few more Bibles coming out. Oh, one over here as well. That would be great. Any more? Just wave frantically if you haven't got one yet. Don't want anybody to miss out on what God has got to say to you today. So Trev's going to come up and read, and I'm just going to pray for us, that God would speak to us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is alive to us. And Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now as we read and as we listen to your word? Would you teach us? Would you show us things that you really want to speak into our lives and that will really impact us? And Lord, would you just give us the courage as we chat together about it to just share those things with one another, that we would be a blessing to one another. Amen.
You do have a church Bible, it's on page 914, Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thanks, Trev. So, guys, this is where you stand up, you pick up your chairs, and you turn them round. This will mean unlocking your chairs for some of you. Don't worry, there's not an explosion going to happen if you move your chairs. It is okay. We do not have to sit in straight lines. We can move, we can talk to one another. So, guys, let's get moving and get into groups. And please make sure you're having a look around you to see if anybody's on their own. Just grab them in with you. We're family. Go on, move those chairs. Unhook them. It's liberating. I don't know what the guys on the pews are going to do. You may need to come and grab a seat or two. Now, you've only got 10 minutes to talk about what really leapt out of you, out for you at the Bible reading, what God was saying to you. So if you don't know one another, just say hi in a quick hello. Don't give each other your life stories, because otherwise you're not going to get up into sharing about this passage. So you've got 10 minutes to do this. What did the Lord show you in this passage? And we are going to come round with a microphone afterwards. So you can't just, you know, discuss the price of whatever. you know, you need to be talking about the passage, because we're going to come around, and because I really want to hear what the Lord is showing you today through this passage. We're family together. We learn from one another. If you haven't got your point in yet, do it quickly. Fantastic. Okay. So Adam is going to come round with the microphone, and we really want to hear what God has shown you through reading this passage. What jumped out at you, what you've been talking about in your groups. And so do stick up your hand if you're ready. If you're not, he will just come and accost you anyhow. So start wherever you like. Who's going to start us off? Oh, he's coming to the back. Now they're going to argue who does this. Come on, guys.
Okay. So we sort of came up with three separate conclusions as to what it sort of meant. The first one was that this passage sort of showed that you could, if you made a commitment about something, let's say, and after prayer, God may show you that you shouldn't do that. That commitment or that thing you planned on may lead to disaster for you. Then you're sort of allowed to change your mind. Like, if you say, I'm going to go to this party, I'm going to go to this event, I'm going to do whatever, and then after prayer, God says, you shouldn't do that, then you're allowed to change your mind.
Did you have some stories about that in your group?
No, we didn't, actually.
You didn't? Well, maybe this week that'll be really relevant to some of you in your group.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you planned to do something, the Magi planned to do something, and then actually God said no, and they changed their plans. Yeah. What was your second point?
The second point was just that it was about gifts. So, no? Yeah, it was. Yeah. So there's sort of two separate gifts that are given in that sort of passage. The first was by the three wise men to the Lord Jesus. And that's just sort of our link between Christmas, how we give gifts to one another.
Yeah.
But the second bigger gift was how God gave the gift of his son to all of us in order to sort of gain our salvation. So,
wonderful. Yeah. Are you going to get prompted for the third one? Or that'll do? Well done, guys. Okay, moving on. Oh, we have one at the front.
Yeah, picking up on that, I mean, in terms of the dream and us actually reflecting on how we respond to that, Helen's given me permission to share on her behalf, but Helen hadn't been at church for some time because she's got a bad back. It locks. And so she had a dream in December about coming to church and felt that God would take care of her if she was here. And so she's here for the first time in quite some time this morning.
Wonderful. It's good to have you. Can we just pray for you now that God would heal you? Is that okay? Just let's place a hand on her. Just wherever you are, just, you know, let's put your hand towards Helen. Lord, I pray you would come now with healing in your wings. Lord, this is your precious daughter, and you have not called her to suffer with this back condition. And in the name of Jesus, we just speak against this back condition, and we say, back be healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Bones be straight and right. Muscles be relaxed. Pain be gone in the name of Jesus. We just speak strength into your back, Helen, in the name of Jesus. Nerves be at rest. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take care of your precious child. Amen. Who's next?
I guess primarily what came out with us was the fact that signs were seen and signs were believed, and there was a perseverance and a faith to go forward. When the wise men went into Jerusalem, it's like, from what the scripture says, the star must have disappeared, because when they went on their way again, it reappeared. And it's cool that God will do that. If you're looking for the sign, he will show you. Yeah. He will. And that they just had the faith to keep doing that, whether it was years that they traveled, or it doesn't really matter. The fact is that they saw. They were looking, they saw, and they continued until they received what they were looking for. And that was their king that they could worship.
So that whole thing about signs and seeing signs and then acting on those signs that we see. And the guys at the back, they were talking about, you know, almost the childlike simplicity of the Magi as they followed those signs. They kind of, you know, it wasn't there was a great argument about it. They saw and they went, which is quite incredible. Really, for people who didn't actually know the Lord themselves. Who else?
We felt it showed God's sovereignty, him being in control. And interestingly about the star, we noticed that it stopped. We thought, wow, it just stopped. How amazing that is.
Yeah.
And the other thing we noticed is that he's born King of the Jews. And when he was crucified, he had the thing, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. So we felt that was an interesting point.
You've stolen one of my points later. Well done. Well done. Yes, I think interestingly, the next time we hear Matthew writing that down, and a Gentile saying King of the Jews is right at the end of Jesus' life, yeah. Oh, they're having a little discussion, a little powwow in the middle here. Go for it.
I think we were talking about how throughout the passages there were... It seems that people have a lot of faith in what they hear. They seem to believe the prophecies.
Yeah.
And then they take action believing them. Herod believed and the Magi believed. And when they got to the house, the star stopped. And so they believed that they were actually seeing the Messiah, yeah. Which I wouldn't have believed. And it seems that there seems to be a contrast then to now, is that then they seem to believe everything and act on it, and now we doubt everything.
Yes. And it was interesting, it was both sides, as you said, believed. You know, it was the goodies and the not so goodies that believed and acted on it. I mean, Herod was, you know, fearful because of those prophecies that were there. He definitely believed those. Yeah, I wonder what causes that kind of lack of faith. Do we rationalise stuff away? I don't know. At the back there.
Yeah, one thing that hasn't been said yet, which we noticed, was that good prevailed over evil. Herod had a plan to try to kill Jesus, but the wise men listened to God and so didn't go back to him.
Yeah.
And then in the next chapter, Mary and Joseph move to, which also stops his plan happening. But it's quite comforting to see how the good is prevailing over evil.
Yeah. Yeah, God, Father God protects Jesus in a very vulnerable position, born into a very, very vulnerable time and place, and God protects him and his kingdom is coming. We can see that happening. Last one. Come on, who's got excellent?
Thank you. We also thought about why God chose those three particular people and not... say other people, why those three people? And it's just that God can choose anybody.
Yes.
And we all belong to God, and it's, you know, just being obedient, because that's what they were, was being obedient to God and to what he had asked them to do. So that was what we gathered. A few other things as well, which some of the other groups have said, yeah. As well.
Wonderful. Yes, it is an odd choice, isn't it? An odd choice. Who's anybody got just something burning they really, really want to say? Oh, we've got a couple over here.
I just felt the incredible humility of God to come to earth, and that just blows my mind at how humble God is.
Yes, hugely.
We're thinking about how disturbed they were. It says that Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem was disturbed.
Yeah.
So we thought that they knew about the prophets, what they had prophesied, but probably they did not want this change of establishment.
Yes.
You know, just like Donald Trump and Hillary being the establishment.
Yeah, we got to get Donald in there somewhere, haven't we?
Yeah. They were very anxious, and, you know, they realized this was a powerful...
Yeah.
Kind of establishment that
the
kingdom was coming.
Yeah. Yeah, people always fear change, don't they?
I think for me it was when they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and the only response they had was to worship Jesus.
Yes.
So when we meet with him, the joy that comes and that response to worship was really quite profound.
But that shows you something about their hearts, that they saw it and were overjoyed and worshipped. And yet Herod saw it, and it provoked a very different response in Herod, didn't it? I just want to share a few thoughts with you as I've been reading this kind of before Christmas, during Christmas, and after Christmas. And it picks up on a lot of what you guys have already said. And the first thing I just really want to pick up on is, yeah, do move your chairs. That's fine. If you want to leave them as they are, that's cool too. But if you want to move them, that's fine. Sometimes it's just a shame when you're all back in Serridge Rose. I just really felt the Lord's pleasure, actually, over the congregation as you were together in groups, chatting to one another. Just felt the Lord's pleasure in kind of the family that you are as you do that. So anyhow, so the first thing is Jesus is the King for everyone. So the Magi had come from a different country. They weren't Jewish. And we know that Jesus came first for the Jews and that then he came for the Gentiles. But it's interesting that it was the Gentiles, the kings, the Magi, that worshipped him. And Matthew's very clever in his writing. He kind of frames... He frames Jesus in this idea that Jesus is king for everyone. So right at the beginning, we see Jesus being worshipped by the Gentiles, by the Magi. So Jesus is the king for everyone. And then why don't you turn right to the end of Matthew's gospel with me? Because it's like two bookends that Matthew's putting here. He's framing Jesus' life and ministry in this. So Matthew 28, verse 19. Everybody got it? Should we read it together? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch what it said? All nations. Not just the Jewish nation. All nations. Jesus is for all of us. Jew or Gentile. He is the King for all nations. And nobody is to be excluded for his kingdom. Nobody is to be excluded because of the country that they have been born into, or the race that they have been born into, or the religion they have been born into. Nobody is to be excluded because of their upbringing or the history of their life. Jesus' kingship and lordship is for all people. All people are able to turn to him and to receive his mercy. Not just a separate select group. Not just one nation. All people. And the group in the middle kind of stole my thunder a bit. But the next time we hear a Gentile in Matthew's gospel using the words King of the Jews, there was no bright star in the sky. In fact, darkness descended on earth, because the next time you hear Jesus called King of the Jews is at his crucifixion, when the soldiers call him King of the Jews. Both ends of the gospel, both Gentiles recognizing who Jesus was. So Jesus is the King for all of us, for everyone. And you may be sitting here today and thinking, I love church. I love being in the family. But I'm not sure whether I'm a Christian, because I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Maybe your background isn't what you would expect a Christian's background to be. But this story shows us that Jesus is available for all of us, no matter where we've come from, no matter what we've been born into. The second thing that I want to pull out of this story is that the wealthy and the wise went in search. Now, the Magi must have been fairly wealthy because travel in those days was very costly, and travel a long way, and they had traveled a long way, was very costly. It wasn't like EasyJet where you could just nip over to France for £36. You know, long-haul travel costs, doesn't it? And they were doing long-haul travel here. So these were wealthy people, but they were also wise and educated. You see, the Magi believed that if they saw something happen in the heavens that was extraordinary, something extraordinary was going to happen on earth. Or if they heard of something happening in an extraordinary way on earth, then they would look to the heavens to see it correlated there. And so when they saw the star, they looked into it. And like theologians now say that it was probably a conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn, which would kind of make sense because over a two-year period, apparently, they say that there were seven conjunctions, which would kind of go in with this thing of the star appearing and going and reappearing and all the rest. But to them, as Magi, they believed that the planet Jupiter was a royal planet and Saturn was meant to symbolize the Jews. And so for them, in some ways, it was very simple. There was Jupiter and Saturn, so there was going to be a new king of the Jews. And where would they go? Well, they would go, obviously, to the palace to look for the new king of the Jews. I think one thing to remember here, though, that these guys, they weren't astronomers, they were astrologers. They were magicians. They believed in dark arts. They were searching people, but they were searching in the wrong place. They were involved in things that actually Jewish people shouldn't have been involved in. I guess it would be like a group of people from our local coven coming to church and wanting to find out about Jesus. We would all be a little bit shocked, wouldn't we? We might be a little bit fearful. But often people who are involved in those kind of things are people who are searching. And God here is so gracious. He's not afraid of what they've done. God looks at their hearts, the fact that they are searching for him, and he reveals himself to them. God reveals himself to some very unusual people, people not like us, people doing things that we wouldn't necessarily think that God could speak through and act in. I think it's really interesting, a number of you picked up on this thing about dreams, because the whole Christmas story has got so much about dreams in it. And, you know, God still speaks to people, many people from the Middle East in dreams. We hear so many stories of people from a Muslim background having a dream about Jesus and coming to faith. There was a guy at church at five whose wife was Christian, had become a Christian, and he wasn't, and he was over, I've forgotten where it was. Anyhow, he was over somewhere in the Middle East on a business trip, and he said to her, "You just keep your religion to yourself. As long as you don't tell my family, you know, that's fine, but I'm not going to follow Jesus." Anyhow, he had a dream while he was working abroad and came back a Christian, and now their whole family are following Jesus. Often we can be fearful of Muslims. We could be fearful of people who aren't like us. But we need to remember that many of them are earnestly seeking God. And I just urge us, church, especially around the time of Ramadan, where our Muslim neighbours are fasting, really pray that God would reveal himself to them, because they're fasting for a revelation of him. And you know, God is good. He's not scared about anything. God is good. He will reveal himself to them. The third thing I just want to bring up is, again, some of the stuff that you guys have talked about gifts. And I think this passage just points, really, that Jesus is a gift for everyone. Now, these gifts are fairly unusual gifts to give to a carpenter's son. Interestingly, they are not unusual gifts that you would offer to a god, though. And again, that kind of pagan thing comes in there, doesn't it? And that other thing there. It wouldn't be unusual to offer those gifts to a god. And it was like the Magi had kind of this understanding who Jesus was, and these prophetic gifts, although they didn't know him yet, these prophetic gifts they brought to him. So they brought gold because he is the king. They brought incense because he is God. And they brought myrrh as a prophetic act that he would die for the whole world. Jesus is a gift for each one of us. And some of you may be sitting there and thinking, yeah, but I am not worthy of that gift. I am not worthy of what Jesus died for you, that Jesus died for you. But actually, Jesus thinks you are worthy. You are worth it. You are worth him coming to earth, to living his life here, to dying on a cross, to take your sins away, and to being raised to new life so you have an eternal hope with him. You are worth it. The world may say something very different, but God says you are worth it. Jesus is a gift for each one of us. And then I want to leave us just now with a kind of question, and then we're going to go into some ministry time. Because are we living in faith or fear? A number of you picked up about Herod. See, Herod was acting out of fear. He didn't want that regime change that you talked about. He didn't want his household to not hold the power anymore. He wanted to keep his power, and he wanted his household to keep the power as well. You know, we sometimes talk at Easter about what would have happened if Judas had come back and said sorry to Jesus. What would have happened if Herod's response, in seeing the star, rather than him being threatened and fearful, had been to bow the knee and worship? How different it could have been for him and his household. He was acting out of fear because he was insecure with who he was. Because he wasn't fully Jewish, he wasn't acting out of his identity as a child of God. He was acting out of fear instead. Now, a lot of us who've been Christians for a while will think, oh, we've got this fear thing sorted. But you know, often there are little bits in our hearts, in our lives, where we still react or think because we have like nuggets of fear left in us. It may be you're sitting here today thinking, I so want to become a Christian. I so want to give my life to the Lord. But actually, can he really forgive my sins? You're fearful that he can forgive your sins. Can he really give me a new start? Maybe you're fearful of that because nobody has ever given you a second chance in life. Or maybe you feel that there's areas that you are a Christian, but there's areas that you're just not able to give yourself fully to God in, because you fear being alone. Will God really be with me? Can I give Jesus my hurts? Will he really be able to heal them? You know, if I unbutton my heart and the state it's in, will God really be able to heal me? Will God really provide for me? And it's like we have this fear in us that stops us giving ourselves to the Lord and stops us giving ourselves fully to the Lord. And we let our thinking be formed by fear. And we let our actions be formed by fear. And what I'd like us to do now is actually to allow God to search our hearts. We have a good, good Father who loves us, who none of our stuff is kind of any surprise to. You know, you may be trying to hide stuff in your life, but let me tell you, God knows it already. He knows the things that have happened to us that have damaged us. There's no point in trying to hide anything. And I just believe for us that God wants to come and shine his light in our hearts. And where there is those nuggets of fear, he wants to transform them into faith in him. So why don't you just stay seated for a while? I just want you to close your eyes. Not that it's magical, but just you can just stop looking then at the lovely people next door to you and concentrate on Jesus. And maybe you want to put your hands out in front of you just as a sign to say, Father God, I trust you. So, Lord, we thank you that we are your children. Thank you that you know us and you love us. You know us and you love us. There's not anything in our lives that surprises you. Thank you that we are fully known and fully loved. And Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and shine your light in our lives. Lord, where we have any fear because of circumstances, things that have happened to us, things that have been done to us, if fear is holding on in any place in our lives, Lord, would you come and show us? We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And just as the Lord shows you, don't just close the lid on it again. He's shown you because he loves you and because he just wants to sort this one out with you. He is able. Just let him into those places of fear. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us where that fear came into our lives, how it came in, those circumstances. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And it may be painful for some of you, this, but don't put the lid down. Don't run away. Keep engaged with God. And Lord, we ask that you would come and heal those places in our lives. That you would replace that fear with faith. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for some of you, it's like you need to step out of that fear and step up from that fear, and you need to renounce that fear. And you know, if that's you, if there's something the Lord's been speaking to you about that has caused you to be fearful and you want to be free from it and you want to be full of faith, why don't you join me in just standing now as a sign to the Lord that you want to be free from that fear. keep receiving from the Lord. And Lord, we renounce that fear that we have lived by and has formed our lives. We renounce it, Jesus, and we declare that, Jesus, you are Lord of all. And we invite your healing in, Lord. Come and bring your healing and your wholeness. I think it'd be really good if just out loud we could just say that we renounce that fear. Doesn't have to be mega loud, just but out of our mouths, I renounce that fear. I renounce that fear. I no longer want to be controlled by it. Jesus coming with his freedom. Some of you have been, there's fear that has been controlling your life even from a really young age, and there's freedom coming. It's freedom coming for it. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we stand and why don't we worship for a moment to declare the truth that we are no longer slaves of fear. We are no longer slaves of fear.